You're listening to Too Soon Podcast.
What's up, everyone? It's your girl, Linda Jo, with a bonus episode. Here is the full interview of us and Lucy Stuhl that we recorded last week. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe to our pod, okay? So you never miss any exclusive bonus content. Check it out. All right. Thank you so much, Lucy, for being here with us as our first guest for our inaugural episode. It is such a pleasure. You're one of my favorites in Chicago. I love you so much. Like, fully inspired by you. The first time I saw you perform, I was like, oh, this bitch right here, I fucking stan.
Oh my God, Linda, thank you so much, baby. Thank you so much also for having me on the inaugural show. I'm so excited to be a part of this.
Yeah, it really, really, really means so much to us. Like, we were all so excited when you said yes. I was like, oh my God, Lucy's gonna be there.
You know, y'all are my girls, and Milwaukee is, our sister city. So I, of course, was so fucking jazzed to be a part of it.
Thank you so much. You know how we feel coming from Dick. I remember when you came out, and I think it was for Jonathan's birthday. I want to say it was for one of his birthday shows, and you did Make Me Feel by Janelle.
Oh, yes.
And I was just like, okay, this is everything. This is everything I want to be in drag. Like, I've been a huge fan since the beginning. So,
y'all are too sweet. Thank you so much, babes.
Yeah. Speaking of us being sister cities, and you know, there's a lot of influence and, you know, back and forth. And last summer, you know, when the whole BLM movement started and everything started to happen, we were definitely inspired by y'all and the Black Drag Council to kind of like follow suit. Because we, especially like me and Malaya, we noticed things that were happening in our scene that we wanted to address. And having y'all take that first step and be very poignant and really get the job done, it kind of made us want to take that same initiative.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think that's one of the best things that has come out of everything that happened within the last year, the way it's kind of activated so many people across the world to take charge and to at least try and, you know, make a change or do something.
And that's beautiful. I was just wondering, what was that initial spark? Like, I know we have these issues as, you know, POC entertainers. We see things and it may not be the best, but it's kind of the status quo when it comes to our type of performance and how sometimes we get treated in this scene. But what was like the spark that said, okay, we need to organize and take action and actually move towards making like a tangible change in the Chicago scene?
To be honest, it really was the Drag March for Change. I think that kind of mobilized all of us and brought us together in a way that we never really had before. You know, as we've talked about a lot before, a lot of the Black girls in the scene just a few years ago, we hadn't even all worked together. You know, even if people weren't intentionally doing it, it was definitely a way to kind of keep us separate and not have us working as a team. And now we finally found that team, and it's been the thing that, you know, has really gotten me and a lot of other people through this, like, you know, this past horrible year, which, you know, has been bad for everybody. But yeah, it was something that had been needing to happen for a long time. And when all of that stuff kind of came to the surface after the march, we found ourselves together and kind of, you know, standing side by side in this and being like, we have to be the ones to do something about it. So yeah, it naturally just sprung from there, and us wanting to make a lasting change and see that and make sure, you know, we see that in our lifetime that, you know, this doesn't keep happening to people.
Yeah, I think it's really cool how it was really beautiful, at least for me, to see like all of the queens of color coming together. And even if you guys may have had some differing opinions, you all stood together and supported each other. And all were in on, you know what I'm saying? Like, you all decided to be in, you know, like to say that
I'm going to stand with my sisters. I'm going to support my sisters because we're all in this together. And we didn't quite have that happen here in Milwaukee, but it was definitely enlightening to see it happen in Chicago.
You know, yeah, at the very least, even if it doesn't go the way everyone has planned at first, like y'all having that discussion and bringing that forward and opening so many other people's eyes to it has really kicked something off. Even if you don't see it right now, like I'm telling you, it has started some sort of like change. And that's like something that I wanted everyone to get from, you know, what we were doing and what's happening right now is that, you know, anything that you do can help. Any little thing that you do can make a difference. And you should be doing something, you know, even if it's the absolute smallest thing, like, you know, go ahead and do it. Because if someone else sees that, if someone gets inspired by that, like, you know, you have no idea just how deep that could be. So, yeah, I always say to do it, to take the fucking chance. I've always been the girl that will take that chance. I don't care. I'm the loud mouth.
Yeah. Same.
Like, even though we may not have gotten the exact outcome that we were looking for, I will say the beautiful thing that came out of the Milwaukee Drag Alliance is that we made those connections with these venues, and we made connections with our sisters and team, even if we didn't get along with them. But they saw where we were coming from, and they saw like a lot of the hurt that had been done in our theme. So it put a face to some of the issues that we're talking about. And they're like, oh, well, this is my sister and I respect her. I may not have got it, but I care about her. So I'm going to take the time and learn about it. And some of these venues have been a lot more receptive than we thought they would be. So that's really helped to open up like a conversation and dialogue about how we are performers in our scene.
Yeah, I mean, and so many of these places, like you said, that like there was no communication between like performers and the people who were like running the place. Like there was a lot of things that probably could have been solved if there was some sort of, you know, like better communication in that sense. So it seems to have actually got people to listening to what these people that are actually paying their bills have to say.
Yeah, you go.
I was gonna say there. I mean, at least from our perspective in Milwaukee, I always feel like there's been kind of a disconnect between the entertainers and the venues, where kind of like we're technically employees, but we're not really employees. Mm-hmm. So there ends up being like this whole dynamic where we don't really know where we fit in, but you can't really ask us to do a whole bunch for what we're getting back out of it, and then that creates like a problem. So it was just nice to open up how we feel about certain things and let people actually be heard. And that's all we could really ask for going into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, coming out of, you know, like the whole, the town hall heard across the world. It did inspire a lot, or it caused some things that I know that I appreciated. Like now, you and Bambi are doing the Black Tea, formerly the Tea. And yes. So what has it been like for y'all doing that?
It's been really exciting. I mean, just like y'all, we kind of stepped into this not really knowing too much of what we wanted to do, just knowing we wanted to have some conversations with some like Black people and, you know, talk about what was going on in our community and our city. And it's been so fun to kind of learn it together and figure it all out and have these really cool, diverse ass conversations about, you know, being Black and queer in the city of Chicago. Yeah, it's so much fun. I never thought that having a podcast was going to be this much fun, but it's been a blast so far.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Even though we just started, it's been so much fun pulling this together and like making all the pieces like work and figuring it out and being real scrappy. And I think it is. It's a lot of joy that it brings you to just talk to people about their lives and their experiences.
Oh yeah, especially right now. Like all I want is like some communication and a chance to like feel like I'm connecting with someone. So it's like the perfect time to do it.
And I see you guys took a break at the end of December, but it had to be because you were getting ready probably for the Drag Queen of the Year award competition.
Oh my God. Pageant show. Yeah, that I am excited. I am also ready for it to be over. I am so glad that got me back to creating and like thinking of performing and getting back out there. But it also really highlighted just how like rusty I am right now. I was like, oh, I feel ooh. That. I was like, this is all so much harder again. Like, damn, yes. These costumes ain't fitting right. Like, I can't remember how to dance in heels. Like, shit, this is tough. So, I mean, it's been good because it has inspired me all over again and actually even showed me that I was able to do some of the stuff that I didn't even think I was able to do. Like just being able to create some of the garments that I did for this show. I was like, wow, I didn't even think I could fucking pull that off. And I did. So yeah, it was really cool in that way. Also being a part of something so huge that, you know, this really big queen in our drag community, Alaska and Lola, are putting on is monumental, especially as like being a black, gender non-conforming, like bearded drag queen, you know, like, yeah. Like that's pretty fucking huge. And yeah, especially after all the shit we went through and having this like canceled last year, so mm-hmm. didn't get to have that like, you know, experience last year, being able to do this online is really great. And yeah, I really want that $10,000 fucking dollars
too. Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah. How much work do you, or how long have you been putting in work into this? Like, how much do you think of like your day this takes?
So they reached out to us in January asking if we wanted to be a part of it. And I, of course, was like, yeah, absolutely. I don't know how I'm going to do this shit, but like, I absolutely want to do it. And from like the time I found out, which was like the middle towards the end of January to like, you know, a week ago, it was all I thought about, you know, from the minute I like woke up to the minute I went to sleep. And even though I'm still a huge procrastinator, I devoted a lot of my time to creating this one look that I'm like really proud of. That's a part of it. I spent a lot of time putting it together and thinking about it. And even though some of the stuff didn't come out the way that I have wanted to in the end, I feel very good about what I've done with it. Yeah. So
yeah
I spent a month freaking out about it. I've cried. I've paced, you know, my fucking feet into the floor. I've done everything, and now I've put it out there and said, what will be. So yeah. That's just how I'm going.
I love that. But that is definitely what it is like to do, like doing digital drag, especially. It's like, I'm a number one procrastinator as well. And mm-hmm. like trying to pull it together and like get the show and like get everything filmed and edited and get the looks together and the right angles. And you're just like, fuck.
Yeah.
It can be so stressful. But I noticed I just did a show this past weekend, Bledgins with Suburbia up in New York. And like, it was a really cute little show. It was a birthday show. And I did an Erykah Badu number. And I procrastinated. I waited until the last minute to do it all. And
me as fuck.
I wasn't mad with how it came out. It came out actually really, really, really good. And I was really proud of myself, because even though it wasn't exactly what I wanted, it definitely was something that made me proud. So I hope you feel that way. I hope that's how you're feeling about what you did.
Thank you. And you know what? I will. I will. I'll get there. I'm still in my head at the moment right now, but I have started to the process of lying to myself, and I will start to believe it soon.
Yeah. And it helps too when you get the validation of other people seeing your work and telling you how good it is. Cause that, I think that's gonna be the tea for you, and you'll be like, oh, okay, I did it.
Yeah. You know, I know that I'm going to feel good about it. I know that I'm going to feel good about it. I just need it to happen, honey. I'm tired of this. I can't be stressed out, not in Miss Quarantina.
I know.
I can't have that on me.
Yes. What are you doing to de-stress through the quarantina? I know that you are a lady of the leaf.
Child. That's what I was just gonna say. I was like smoking too much weed, like good grief. No, I also got a dog in May. So, you know, just a few months after we got into quarantine, I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna make this happen. So Nelson has actually been fantastic in keeping me like active and moving and getting out there and just having like this companion to be like have here with me.
Yeah.
But really, I spend most of my time with him and like working on my apartment. I just want to turn my house into the perfect little cave to hide in. And
I love that.
Do digital drag occasionally until I can actually get back on a stage because, like, yeah, digital drag is not really my tea either.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like with the changes in the world and everything. I mean, obviously, I'd rather be doing things the way that we normally do them, but with digital drag, I really feel like it's brought in the creativity out of the entertainers because they have to figure out how to be captivating in front of a camera by themselves. And just like the things that I've seen that people do, just pushing, you know, their creativity to the max. It's been really beautiful to see. And I'm ready to see what people bring back to the stage because they've had all this time to prep themselves and get ready, this, that, and the other, and learn new things about their drag. So it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, it is great. And I think that it has really opened a lot of our minds as to, you know, what we can do with our drag and where it can go and also who we can include with it. Like that was another big thing that we discovered, how many people were being like left out of drag for so many different reasons, you know, if ranging from, you know, if they were differently abled or, you know, all kinds of things. Like there were so many people that, you know, were being left out of it. So yeah, there's some definite good things of it. I've picked up a lot of editing techniques that I never even thought were possible for me to kind of find out. I'm not that old, but I'll be playing like I'm a grandma and I'm just like, oh child, not learning another thing. Like I can't.
Malaya is the same way.
My favorite thing to say is I'm too old for this shit. So
yeah, like for real. I'm going to be 40 in 4 years.
You still like, got some time.
I know. I've been saying this all the time.
We're all in our 30s here. Yeah. 30 game.
Hell yes. I love that. I mean, you know, girl, that's so funny. I see kids on social media every day talking shit about people in their 30s. And I'm like, I don't know what y'all think happens after your 20s, but that's where y'all are heading. And they're actually just the same. Like, so get ready.
And honestly, 30 is the new 20. And I'm thriving now in my 30s and I'm happy. And I'm in a better place than I have been the last 10 years of my life. So
absolutely. Like I would tell anyone that like the 30s, that's when it actually starts popping. Like that's when it gets fun.
Yeah.
I feel like the 30s are like my 20s where I actually have a little bit of money now and I know what I'm doing. So it's just like, okay, let's try and get it right this time.
Yeah. And I heard someone say that too, like 30s are your 20s with money. And I'm like, hell yeah.
very, very that. I mean, I'm still a broke ass drag queen, but
yeah, fucking same.
You got a whole doctor out there.
He's not a doctor yet. He's in med school. Let's make one thing clear. I was still the breadwinner. When I was working 4 gigs a week, honey, I was the breadwinner.
Hey.
And now I'm just burning through all my savings.
Oh, that's too real.
So true. But I did have a question about marijuana. What is your favorite strain of weed?
My favorite strain? That's so tough. I have so many like favorites and it usually changes by, you know, what the dispensary or my local businessman has in stock. But I would have to say if there's one strain universally that if I was anywhere in the world and it was there that I would trust, it would be green crack.
Okay.
Have you had green crack before?
No. Is it? But it sounds like it does the same thing as a tea, but does it give you energy?
Oh my God. Yes, it does. It is literally green crack. It doesn't make no sense. Like it is like, what's that drug that the kids be taking to stay up on and write papers?
The Adderall. Tina?
You know, not Tina. No, Adderall. Linda said Tina. I'm like, no, that is true. No, that is true. That was not the one I was talking about. Green crack is like, it's like Adderall. I don't even know any other way to describe it. Like it gives you a high, but it also gives you so much energy and like clarity. I have never smoked a strain of weed that has got me to like focus and get so much shit done like that one. Like, it is my favorite.
Oh, I love that.
It's my favorite daytime weed. Like, I anytime I see green crack, I always buy it.
Oh my God, that makes me so mad. So I am a sativa diva. Yes. I love sativa. I recently started taking medication for my ADHD, and I talked to my psychiatrist, and she was like, I'm gonna need you not to do the weed with that. So I haven't been smoking, but when I did sativa, it would give me just energy. I'd be focused. I'd have a sense of anxiety, but not the anxiety that's crippling, because I suffer from anxiety, but yeah. It's the anxiety that makes me want to do stuff. You know, it's like, it lowers the bar for me to jump over it, you know? And yeah. That's what I love about sativa. Any kind of upper weed, that's my game. I love it. So I'm gonna have to check out Green Crack.
Yeah, it is a fantastic one. You know, and then at night I switch to a little indica, more of an indica moment, so I can take myself down and try and knock myself out.
Yeah. I feel that. I try to stay away from indicas because I don't need anything to like lay me out. I stay away from them, but I do respect the people who love indica.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. Absolutely. I have to be careful about them too, because they can turn me into like standing around, like staring at people
On the couch, just in the couch.
Literally.
I feel like if it's helping you do the things that you need to do and you feel like it's helping you be the best version of you, there is no reason not to. And I only smoke it in legal states. I just want to, if anyone's listening in, it's only when I'm in Illinois or California or Portland.
Well, I smoke it everywhere. I am also a medical marijuana patient.
Okay, baby. Smoke it wherever you go.
My ass smokes everywhere. I don't care, bitch. I'm gonna always be smoking weed.
And I do encourage people to smoke legally.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do.
Every time. Okay. I saw online you had some new merch, some new like enamel pins.
Oh my God.
The stool samples.
Yes, I do. You know, so there was this joke that happened. It was probably like 2 months ago or something, but I feel like most of my favorite merch has started because of somebody said or did something on the internet, and I was like, that's funny, I'm gonna sell it.
Yeah.
There was like this tweet. There was this tweet going around that was like, if you had stands, what would they be called? And I was like, oh, of course, mine would be called stool samples. And like everyone was like living for that. And I got this idea, like, I'm a good pepper. You know, the Dr. Pepper like symbol.
Oh yeah, that is what it is. Oh my
God. That's exactly what it is. So just because their slogan was like, you know, I'm a pepper, and I was like, oh my God, what if it was the I'm a stool sample? So Jonathan actually drew that up for me, that sweetheart.
Oh, that's really, really cool.
And was like, yeah, here, this is just a little treat for you. And I was like, oh, thank you, babe. Like, yeah, I want to fucking use this.
Yes.
This is so rad. I decided to do just a little limited edition enamel pin run to help fund this pageant and the bills that come with her, because you know, seven of us ain't gonna win that $10,000.
Okay. And dragons.
Just being realistic, seven of us are not gonna get it. So,
and drag is not cheap, honey. Drag is not cheap.
Nope, it's not, and it can be, but it may not be good. So, I said may. Don't nobody get mad at me about that. I said may.
Yes,
I said may.
Some people can pull off a off the rack H&M look and fucking kill it.
Hell yeah. Some people can take some fucking dollar store paper and fucking kill it. Like, you know, the Vixen is one of the most inspiring fucking drag performers and creators I have like in my life, and that we all fucking know. Like, I don't even think some people understand how fucking talented this girl is. That girl can fucking take like $2 worth of fucking fabric and some fucking paper flowers and make, you know, something that you would be proud to wear on a fucking runway, you know?
Like, yes.
She is amazing. She can make all of the best fucking music. She can write, she can dance. Like,
Truly.
She's a talent unlike any other. Like, I will sing her praises any fucking time I get the chance to. I love that girl so much.
I love that. I love that. I really, you know, I really just wanted to, and maybe I'll have the time or the chance to later to really build a connection with the Vixen, because I think that we're more alike, you know, in a lot of ways. She's very creative. She's outspoken, you know, and I think I'm very similar to her in that.
Respect. Absolutely. I think y'all would really like each other. Like, Linda, we all love you, though, too.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Chicago. You know, no, Chicago got a special place for you.
Oh, that really means a lot to me. Because I be thinking like, I ain't nobody. They don't give a fuck about me.
Girl, no, bitch. We fucking love you. And like, I've seen some of the videos you've come out with in Miss Quarantina, and they have like kept me fucking cracking up.
Thank like, you.
Yeah. Miss Malaya, I miss my little baby girl. I miss seeing her dancing out there in the streets.
Yes. We love Malaya, honey. She'll jump off of anything into a split.
She will, bitch. She sure fucking will. That little bitch is brave. I always used to watch her as a young one and be like, oh my God, is she about to? Oh my God. Ooh, you were in that group of girls that would just be, y'all would be throwing y'all little bodies around.
We didn't have nothing to do. We were just like, okay, we just gonna jump off of something. No pay attention to that.
I used to love it though. I would like watch y'all and be screaming. Like I fucking lived for it, but oh, y'all would be throwing on them knees and everything.
Oof. Oh, baby. The knee drops.
I can't do it no more. I can't do that no more.
Nuh-uh. Them knee drops. Like every time I used to hear them that fall on the knees, I would like literally cringe. My old ass. My knees would disintegrate.
Nope. My knee popped out one time. I was like, no more. I can't do this.
Yeah, fuck that.
Nope. And no, then I had to finish the number. I finished the number with a popped out knee. I was like, nope, I'm good. Ooh! We're done.
Baby, no.
Mm-mm. Oh my God. Yes.
My old ass.
There have been plenty of times we had to like carry Malaya to the basement after her number.
Oh, no, girl.
Yes.
No, yes. It's not. See, that's what I'm talking about. You need to be making some more money for all that shit. That
okay. Ain't. Nope. That's why we walk now.
Yep. I'm like, girl. I'm like, y'all want me to turn it out like that? We're going to have to add some zeros.
Well, I got to hurry up and try to get one of these Stool Sample merch enamel pins because I know that you only have a limited supply and you're almost out.
Oh, yeah. We're down to about 28 now. So if you want one, you better get it. You better run.
Where can they go and find it?
So you can find the enamel pins and also my full line of adult toys. Yes, for anyone who doesn't know, I have my own line of adult pleasure items on my website at lucystool.com/shop.
Oh, I love that. Super easy to find. And you do have a whole line of, you have everything. You have cock rings, dildos.
Yes. We even have a cast of my penis for sale. Ooh. She is one of our biggest sellers. Hey. I knew I'd make money off of it one day. But yeah, it's been super cool being able to do that too. Actually, being able to bring like really quality like sex toy items like to the queer masses, you know, like I love the fact that a whole lot of my friends and people across the world are having some good times with some Stool samples.
Inquiring minds want to know, do you use them yourself? Is that something you take it to the room? Said inquiring minds want to know, do you use them yourself? Is that something you take it to the room with you? You just, you know, test out the new product?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? There is not one toy I haven't played with before, which was also actually eye-opening for me because I used to be one of those like boring tops who was like, don't get anywhere near my butt. So actually starting my own sex toy line actually opened my eyes in ways. I love every single one of them. They're fantastic. I absolutely stand behind them, on top of them, whatever, honey.
Okay.
Hold on, what's going on?
Because my mind is like already trying to get to the next thing, so I just jump in without like making a complete sentence sometimes. So just bear with me.
No, I love it.
We wanted to play this game with you. This will be our first time, so hopefully we don't fuck it up. But since the name of our show is called Too Soon, during our show, we talk about things that are too soon or like taboo or we shouldn't talk about.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the show, we talk about things that are too late, that are like, you know, it's already, their time has already passed. We're not giving them any more energy.
Yeah. I love that. Okay.
So we wanted to do like a speed round with you, and we came up with some things that were either too soon or too late. And we're going to ask you, and you can tell us where you think it's too soon or too late.
Okay. Okay.
All right. This first one is, is it too soon to predict which Chicago girl will be on season 14, or is it too late?
Oh, God. Let's say too late. I'm like so tired of that shit. Yeah. I am very happy that they have been bringing some more of the girls on, and I was very happy with the Chicago representation we had this season, but I still think Ruby's shading us, so whatever.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like Chicago kind of gets treated like not at the caliber they should be treated when it comes to the race.
It's pretty surprising because, I mean, just about any person you know would tell you that this is like one of the mega center of drag. Let's just be honest, it is like the actual drag, like,
oh yeah,
center, yes, of where it's happening and like popping off,
the quality, the entertainment, and
it's like level. It's like I know they know it also, so it's just kind of funny to me. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I feel like the innovation that comes out of Chicago like literally inspires like the rest of the country. Like the stuff that they do in Chicago, usually I see other scenes get to it like maybe next season. We'll see if they're going to be doing the stuff that people are doing in Chicago. But Chicago to me is like the it scene for drag.
Yeah, it really is. It really absolutely is. I am blessed enough to have been able to travel the world, like, you know, seeing different scenes and performing all over the place. And there's so many awesome drag scenes across the country. But I honestly can say, like, even not even being biased, like, this is just the best.
Agreed.
Even, like, I think what it has in Chicago is the fact that it's theatrical, entertaining, and funny and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also gives the glamour and the kicks and the, you know, there's everything to it. You know, like, in New York, you're going to get, like, they're going to do, you know, they're going to try to be funny and cute and quick or whatever. And in Chicago, the girls are all about glamour. I mean, not Chicago. In LA, the girls are all about glamour. But in Chicago, it's like you have both. It's like all of the great things about different styles of drag you can see in one show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that's what really like sets us apart from anything. And, you know, it's just like you said, it's like I feel like everybody's drag in their own way is just like next level. Like everybody's so superb in like what they're doing. So like, you know, if you're a comedian, you're the funniest, most beautiful fucking comedian, you know. And if you're a fucking alternative fucking like dirty girl, you're the dirtiest fucking most badass, you know, like all queen. You like Chicago just has like and encourages like all of these people to be the most awesome version of whatever, you know, you want it to be as a performer or an artist.
Yeah. Do you have a top three that you would like to see on the race?
A top three that I would like to see on RuPaul's Drag Race. I would love to see Bambi Banks Coulee.
Yeah.
She's also one of my top three.
I know I'm a little bit biased because that's my sister girl. That's my baby. That's my family. But she fucking deserves it. She's amazing. And she would fucking give on TV. I would love to see Miss Toto. Biased. But I'm like, I mean, like, legit though, the bitches come with it. Like, they do the work. They're amazing. Miss Toto is,
she works so fucking hard. Like, that's Miss a hard Toto, bitch.
Miss Toto, it doesn't even make no sense. Like, this girl gets like 5 hours of sleep and still is able to be like the best at fucking everything. Like, she is the true bodybuilder Barbie, and like I would gag to fucking like see her on there. And then when I think about a third person, oh my God, it's so hard to pick. Who would my top three be? I guess the third person I would like to see on there, let's just mix it all the way the fuck up. The third person I would like to see on there would be Tenderoni. I would love to see fucking Tenderoni on fucking RuPaul's Drag
Race. Oh my God.
He is so personable and handsome and such a great performer.
Yes, and truly.
Truly so fucking creative.
Another hard fucking worker.
Like, does it fucking all. Like, I think it would be excellent to see that, to see Tenderoni on Drag Race.
All of the content he created throughout the pandemic, and like the speed at which he was throwing these videos out, Tinder was doing so much, and like, and
it gets on my nerves.
Yeah, but I know they're also doing the Drag Queen of the Year pageant competition award show. So I'm sure they are working really hard and stressed out with that as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've all been going through it, and you know, it's been a tough thing to try and like kind of wrap your head around right now, because a lot of us have went from doing absolutely nothing to trying to plan, you know, a pageant package. it's been a lot, and you know, if I am to lose, I hope it is to my Chicago family.
Yeah,
in this situation.
And yeah, because I mean, well, I'm sure there's like a friendly rivalry there, but y'all work together, y'all know each other, y'all are friends. I expect it to be, you know.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I think no matter what happens, I'm going to be excited about the outcome. But yeah, please let me get that $10,000 PayPal. Please, I want that PayPal.
Have y'all talked at all? Do y'all like communicate at all about what's happening or what y'all are working on, or is it all hush hush?
We've been communicating. I don't think we haven't really given up too much about like looks or what exactly it is we're doing, but we've definitely been talking to each other and relying on each other for, you know, whatever we can like help with. You know how Chicago is. We family.
Yeah. I love that.
We got our little group chat. The Chicago girls got their little group chat. So, yeah. So we trying.
Yeah. All right. So next one. Is it too soon for us to say that Biden isn't the liberal we wanted him to be, or is it too late?
It's too late. We've been and said that.
Yeah.
We've been and said that. Yeah. Everybody said, you know, no, we're gonna push them, and we here to do the work, and it's not done. Well, for the most part, I've seen everybody that most of these people didn't fucking went back to kicking it.
Uh-huh.
They're like, no, everything's good now. We defeated the evil. Like, y'all are good. Black people, y'all good. Yeah. Trans people, y'all good. Like, queer people, y'all good, right? No, bitch, we ain't good.
Absolutely not.
The poor people ain't good. Like no one's good yet. Like, what? How come I ain't got a stimulus check yet, Joseph?
Yeah. Everybody's still waiting on that check, Joseph R. Biden.
Joseph, how come I ain't got my check yet, Joseph?
Okay,
this don't make no fucking sense, Joseph. I wasn't one of those ones that was like going to bat for you too far, because I knew what the fuck we were gonna get. But Joseph, you fucking playing now. Like, y'all are playing. And I mean, I knew that it was going to be the same old thing.
Yeah.
After everything that we saw, like, I was hoping that people would be a little bit more emboldened to like really revolt and realize that it's going to take a lot bigger steps to like break this systemic like fucking rut that our country and our people are stuck in, you know?
For sure.
Like, and this was not enough. And so, yeah, it's fucking late. It's late as fuck.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, he's a moderate. We knew he was a moderate going in. It's like he just happened to be the only candidate that we could rally around to get rid of Trump.
And which is so fucking stupid, because we had better candidates. Like, it pisses me off. It pisses me off. So we got this almost 80-year-old white man and his cop best friend. Like, you know, like fucking Kamala. I'm like fucking cop. Yeah. Like, being here in Chicago, I am especially pissed off at politicians who are cop lovers. Like, having to deal with Lori Lightfoot and just this entire fucking city and the way that they treat cops here. It's disgusting. Like, did y'all see that one police force with that $77,000 police robot dog?
No.
Yeah, it was just something somebody posted. There was like, I can't remember what city it was in, but they were testing a new police run of those robot dogs, you know, that we've been fucking seeing. $77,000. And we were all like, you remember when we said defund the police? We
meant it. That's what we were talking about.
Like, that's the shit we're talking about. The fact that, what city was it? The cop cars got like updated to like Teslas or some shit. Oh, like, I think it was New York City. Like, it's disgusting. Like the report that we got back here in Chicago about the COVID relief money that was designated to our city and how I think it was some ridiculous fucking percentage of it went to the police. Like 90 million of it or something went to the police. Like, what? For them to stand around and not wear masks and not do shit?
Oh my God. I looked it up. So it was Massachusetts.
Yes, Massachusetts. What the fuck?
Boston, out in Boston, they got some robot dogs running around.
Girl, that is that Black Mirror shit, and I am over it. Let me go ahead and get my house in the suburbs. I need to get out of here. Okay. Not even the suburbs, bitch. Take me to the mountains. I need to get out of here.
Well, my husband is trying to send me to the mountains of Oregon, so we'll see.
Maybe, girl, get up there and grow some weed.
I might. You can come visit me.
Hell yes.
But okay, this is the last. Oh no, this isn't the last one. I got two more. All right. So this next one is. And this is the same one we did at the top of the show with Mimalai and Gemma. But is it too soon to declare Simone the winner of season 13 or too late?
Too soon.
Too soon. Yeah. That's the same thing.
And I love Simone. And you know, I'm rooting for everybody Black. Like, abso-fucking-lutely. Like, but I think it's a little too soon.
Yeah.
I think that there's a... I mean, not when Miss Olivia Lux is still here and kicking.
I can't
do that when my girl Miss Olivia Lux. I can't do that when my Dominican mommy Miss Candy Muse is still here and kicking. I can't do that. I can't do that. But I do believe in Simone's supremacy. Yeah. Believe me. I absolutely love her fashion and the way she pulls everything off and the thought that goes behind it and the execution from, you know, their whole team that they got working on shit. But yeah, that's too soon, baby.
Yeah.
What did y'all say about it earlier?
I feel like Gemma put it very eloquently. What she said was, is the way that they're editing it and the way that they're putting out the show and they're panning it out to be, they're making it Simone's season to lose, but it's still too early to say that Simone is just going to take it. And I agree. I feel like they've been sleeping on Olivia because I feel like she should definitely be up there. That was one of my first top choices. And then also, I mean, I wouldn't sleep on Gottmik or Candy either.
Oh, no, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Gottmik too.
Yeah,
Gottmik. I think that there's going to be a pretty solid top four. I think the top four, if I had to pick, would probably be the ones we were talking about. It'd probably be Simone, Candy, Mick, and Olivia.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people are saying a lot of good things about Rosé. And I do think Rosé is good and talented. Oh, yeah. I mean, like I'm saying, I wouldn't put her in my top four, but I can see her being in the top four because she works really hard and she's very talented.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like if I saw her in the top four, I would not be upset about that. She absolutely deserves to be there.
Yeah, for sure. All right. This last one is
This is a hot seat question.
This is and also you can pass if you want to.
Okay.
Is it too soon or too late for T-Rex to try to redeem herself?
Y'all are wrong for that. It's too soon. It's too soon. I'm not even, you know, I try not to talk about her and that stuff a lot anymore just because, one, I'm like, trying to do like my own healing, and I don't really want my legacy to be too wrapped up in that being the thing, that being the thing, you know what I mean? I think that it would be too soon right now from where I'm standing, just because I don't really see any action or steps or restorative justice or anything of that sort kind of being taken by her just as of yet.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I haven't talked to her, so, you know, I don't know, but
yeah,
personally, I mean, just right now, I feel like it'd be too,
Too soon. Okay. See, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I don't know if you probably already saw, but she has started posting back online again on her story. And
yeah, well, you know, she got me blocked on everything because, you know, she shut off her comments and blocked me on most of everything.
Yeah, well, she unfriended me like randomly a couple of months after everything happened with the town hall.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really weird because I never really said anything specifically negative against her. Yeah. But especially when it first happened, I was like kind of shell-shocked because she had never done anything to me personally, but I'm not in Chicago. So I kept my mouth closed and I said, if that's what these girls are seeing and that's what these girls, I'm not going to try to diminish or belittle or counteract their feelings in any way. Yeah. And so I kept my mouth closed and I shut up. I wasn't going to be like, oh, but it never happened to me. That wasn't going to be me.
Yeah.
Because y'all's experiences are true and valid and real. And then her reaction and her response, all of that, it's just, that's where she lost me. You know what I'm saying? There was a way to respond and she didn't do that.
Yeah, I think everybody got to see that and everyone got to see clearly in the town hall that, everyone saw that mm-hmm. So
my whole backdrop just fell. Oh,
shit. I was wondering what that sound was.
It took a whole tumble.
But episode one, we'll get it together.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lucy. you know, I think it's too late. I think their chance to try to even, you know, make amends, that time has passed.
No, so. I agree with that also. It was hard to pick. I mean, I would just say it's like too soon just because I'm like, I don't even want to hear anything about that. Like, I don't want to hear anything about that till it's been a whole nother like half a year at the very least. And come up to me and say, you know, here's some stuff I've been working on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Give me until after the pandemic and then I'll add a year on to that. And then we can talk about it.
Yeah. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. All right. Please tell the listeners where they can find you and how to watch the Drag Queen of the Year competition.
Yeah. So y'all can find me on all the socials at Ty is Lucy Stuhl. That's right. It's TYISLUCYSTOOLE. And that's Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, even though I barely use that anymore because it is a cesspool of the worst people on earth. You can find the Drag Queen of the Year pageant on Sessions Live. If you look that up, you can find that little app or website. And go ahead and get that ticket so you can see this amazing show. It's going to be pretty fucking brilliant, no matter what turns out.
Yeah. And when is it?
It is March 7th.
March 7th. Ooh. So that's like a week. Oh my gosh.
I know. Like literally, I'm like counting out days. I'm like, ooh, that's like 10 days. Okay, work.
Yeah. This comes out on March 1st. So you guys will have 6 days to get you a ticket to see the Drag Queen of the Year competition. Make sure you go to her website and get some of Lucy's merch. And thank you so much for being here, Lucy. I'm like honored to have you.
Thank you so much for asking me, y'all. I think y'all are amazing. It has been so great over the past few years to start to build this friendship and this bond with y'all. And Milwaukee is so fucking lovely, lucky to have both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lucy.
Love you, babes.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for tuning in to this exclusive bonus content. If you made it to the end of this podcast, stop playing and rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you better be following us and subscribed. Oh. And if you'd like to help the dolls get better mics, donate to the pod at Venmo at Linda Joe for right now until I get another one. See you next week with our special guest, Melee McQueen. Bye.